And now, right across Australia, it's time for the House of Wellness.
Sometimes I get a good feeling.
The House of Wellness. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Good morning. Love your company here on the House of Wellness. Get well, stay well, live well, look fabulous. I'm Elise Elliott. Joining me as usual is someone looking fabulous, and he buys my coffee usually. That's pharmacist and master herbalist Gerald Quigley.
Good morning, Elise. And sorry, Sally, you missed out this morning.
I know. I'm a little upset.
I'm saving the best to last. Co-host today is the lovely Sally Obermeter, and she's in at 2GB in Sydney. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning. Sorry I couldn't bring you a coffee a little far.
Oh, no. That's all right.
No excuse.
You know, guys, we're talking about staying well, living well, looking fabulous. How fabulous are the Commonwealth Games at the moment?
Oh, inspirational. Again.
Very much so. And, you know, I would like the Commonwealth Games name to be changed to something like something more powerful. Mm. You know, it used to be called the Empire Games.
Used to be Empire Games.
Yeah, let's call it that. Anyway, Australia, of course, is doing magnificently. Jess Stenson just won the women's marathon. Mm. What a woman.
Amazing. And Sal, I don't know whether you saw this, but at the end she had her little boy who really didn't want to go all that close because I think mum might have been a bit hot and sweaty and smelly. But she said, you know, at the 20K mark, I was supposed to have a glucose drink ready. It wasn't there. One of my teammates gave me hers. So this is a team effort. I've done it for mums and I've done it for Australia.
Oh, and mum.
Isn't that good?
Hard not to cry when you're watching, isn't it? Like, you get a bit choked up.
Mm. Yeah, very much so. And, you know, it's wonderful for mums too. She said being a mum, she did this for mums. She ran a marathon. There's hope for all of us. I'm going to limp through my 6K run this morning.
Are you? Good
inspired.
For you. Yes. Well, you can always stop and walk. She couldn't.
No, correct. Yeah. Now, other current topics today. We're discussing vaping or the use of e-cigarettes, as they're known. Now, prescription vapes for adults aside, as any parent with a teenager or tween or a little one, Sally, this is becoming a growing issue. My daughter has talked about children as young as year seven. Vaping.
I'm blown away by this. It'll be a fascinating chat with Professor Emily Banks. We're looking forward to that. But it is, and you know, you've both got, I'm a grandfather with a year seven. It is a frightening development when at year seven, were we ever confronted with, in my day, the possibility of perhaps having a puff on a cigarette? There was nothing further from your mind, but there's the glamour now associated with vaping.
And I think also the confectionery aspect. They're sort of sold as these bubblegummy, sweet,
but
you
they're
know,
not.
Treats.
They're not.
That's right. I think that's the part where the kids are sort of falling almost into a bucket that doesn't belong to them, and they're falling into this hole where it sounds like it's a, you know, like you said, confectionery. It's sort of, it's like apple and strawberry, it's not what it actually is.
No.
And heaven forbid, you know, considered cool as well. So we're chatting to Professor Emily Banks from the Australian National University about that. Another subject on the agenda is mitochondrial health. God, what is that, Gerald?
Well, basically it's energy production. But here we have an absolute expert in Leah Hickman, who is a natural fertility specialist, and she is a dynamo, particularly on men's fertility, which is a growing problem as time goes by. And that'll be a fascinating chat as well.
And do you know much about mitochondrial health, Sally? And you know, what do you take for it?
Well, energy production, right? Mm. So energy production requires great food. It needs protein. It needs fat. You need mitochondrial health for all your cells. Every bodily function requires that.
And we might even mention ubiquinol, which is one of your favourites.
My favourite. I take it every morning and think of you, Gerald. And, of course, Gerald's here with the A to Z of vitamins. And this week we're looking at what to do if you're suffering from the symptoms of the common cold and flu. 1 month left to go of winter.
Looks
like it's been going on for eons
eons. And it's been so cold, certainly in the southern states.
And, of course, we'd love to hear from you. 131 873. Next up, all you need to know about vaping and its effects on our health.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
What if there was a way you could save young lives while saving the planet? Introducing Unlabeled, a range of cruelty-free, vegan and ethically sourced skincare products made from 100% recycled post-consumer waste plastic. But here's the most impressive part. 100% of all profits from the sale of Unlabeled products go towards preventing youth suicide. So try Unlabeled the next time you need to top up your hand wash. It's just $8.99 at Chemist Warehouse and includes essential oils like lemon myrtle, sandalwood and eucalyptus. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Love having your company on the House of Wellness. Give us a call, 131 873. I'm joined by Gerald and Sally. Now, we're discussing vaping, a term that's all too familiar for many parents of school-age children these days. Its growing use and the addictiveness that comes with it while posing as a kind of confectionery or a treat is most concerning. Now, there's a separate issue of prescription vapes for adults, which Gerald will touch on. Joining us on the line is Professor Emily Banks. She's from the Australian National University's National Centre for Epidemiology and Population Health. She's led what's currently the most comprehensive report on the health impacts of vaping. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning, Elise.
Now, vapes are often advertised and I guess pushed as being a confectionery-flavoured treat. Do they have nicotine in them? Are they something we should be worried about when it comes to children?
So the vast majority of e-cigarettes actually do contain nicotine, and even some of those that say that they're nicotine-free, actually, when you test them, we find they do actually have nicotine in them. So they largely contain nicotine, which is a highly addictive product, and then alongside that nicotine, there are over 17,000 flavours available worldwide, and those flavours are largely designed to appeal to children and adolescents. So they're things like fairy floss, peaches and cream, maple syrup and pancakes. And the flavours are one of the main things that do appeal to children.
It's the addiction, I guess, that's scaring parents, right? And how addictive is vaping?
Well, nicotine is one of the most, if not the most, addictive substances known. And it is the addictive component in cigarettes, so cigarette smoking. And we know that a lot of people who smoke cigarettes actually want to quit. In fact, there's more or less universal regret at smoking. Almost every smoker wants to quit. But it's the nicotine that really keeps them smoking. There's lots of people who've managed to give up heroin who haven't managed to give up smoking. So it is a highly addictive substance.
Emily, we've studied cigarette smoking till the cows come home, so we've got a fair idea of what is going on there. But a couple of questions, if I may. Do we know what vaping or e-cigarettes, do we know what's happening as far as, say, cancer risk or cardiovascular disease risk or reproductive health risk or mental health risk? If we don't know what's in them, why are they just so easily available?
So you're absolutely right. It's a really important question. What do e-cigarettes do, or what does vaping do to our long-term health problems, and particularly those things that really matter out there? And the biggest issue we have with e-cigarettes, aside from their addictiveness and the fact that they're being aggressively marketed to children and adolescents, is we actually don't know what they do long-term. So we don't have evidence about what inhaling that mix of chemicals does to, for example, cancer or cardiovascular disease. There are a number of conditions we do know are increased with e-cigarette use. For example, they do cause seizures if people have a very high dose of nicotine, and I think people will be aware of recent cases in the news about kids having seizures at school from e-cigarettes. We also know that they can cause poisoning, and that's particularly with the kind of e-cigarettes where you have to refill them. So there was a death in Victoria in 2018 of a toddler who got hold of some e-liquid and drank it by accident and died from that. So it can cause that. And then we also know, I think, and this is a really big problem, is that young people who use e-cigarettes who are non-smokers are around three times as likely to take up regular tobacco smoking as young people who don't use e-cigarettes. So there is really quite strong evidence that they do lead to a kind of a gateway into regular smoking. And I want to make it really clear for people listening that smoking is our number one cause of early death and disability in Australia. Although it's you know, not as common now as it used to be, and a lot of people don't know, many people who smoke, it is still our number one cause of premature death and disability. And it also causes half of all deaths of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people aged 45 and over. So there are a lot of amazing people who would be here with us today if it hadn't been for smoking.
How then has it become so normalised? How is it that you walk down the street and everyone's vaping?
Well, it's not an accident. These products are heavily and aggressively marketed to young people, particularly through social media. So we think of, you know, I've got a 20-year-old and a 16-year-old, and we think of the world as the world we walk around in. But they've also got the world that is online and the world that they see on their phones and on the computer. And in that world, e-cigarettes are marketed very aggressively. They're seen as really cool. They're seen as fun. And they're also, even the products themselves are very sleek and they're very easily concealed. And they are designed to appeal to children. I was outside my younger daughter's school and I found a wrapper on the ground, and it was a wrapper for an e-cigarette, and it was pink. It had lollies all over it. It was bubblegum flavoured. But the product itself contained the equivalent nicotine of 9 packets of conventional cigarettes. They're very high concentration products. So they are highly addictive, and each suck on one of those disposable products is like, in terms of nicotine, it's like a suck on a cigarette.
Emily, we need to clearly differentiate, don't we, that there are prescription-only options available in the e-cigarette market. This is for people who have unsuccessfully used every different smoking cessation technique available, and the e-cigarettes therefore are prescribed by their doctor to monitor and get them off the cigarettes. So there's the legal part, but we're talking about really almost the social part, which is out of control.
That's absolutely right. So in Australia, e-cigarettes are legal for people who have been to their doctor and got a prescription for them, and they're recommended by the Royal Australian College of General Practitioners for people who have tried other means unsuccessfully, because we do have approved products to support people to quit smoking. And what a lot of people don't know is that about 2/3 to 3/4 of people who successfully quit smoking do so unaided. Right? So they don't use these products. But for those people who have difficulty quitting, e-cigarettes are there as a sort of second line or last resort. But what we're seeing is it's kind of like a Trojan horse, where these companies have said, look, this is great for quitting smoking. But when you open up the Trojan horse, out come all these products that are actually being used by children. So we need to be really clear as a society that we are supportive of people quitting smoking and the role that e-cigarettes can play there. And I have to say, the evidence that they're helpful for quitting smoking is limited. Mm-hmm. I definitely meet people for whom it's made a huge difference.
Right.
But those people are among the most concerned about use in young people. They know what it's like to be addicted to nicotine. They know how hard it is to quit. And so they've said to me, look, I really appreciate this is available for me to help me to quit, but I don't want to see young people starting on the road that I have had such trouble dealing with.
Sure.
Yeah, thank you, Emily Banks. The message is comprehensive and very clear there. Thank you very much. I'm going to have a heart-to-heart to my tween when I get home.
Well, we need them to be that age, year sevens. Mm. We need them, and it takes a lot of strength, doesn't it, to say to your peer group, I don't want that, thank you.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. We're taking your calls here on the House of Wellness, 131 873, and Stephen from Greenvale joins us. Good morning, Stephen.
G'day, guys.
Hi, Stephen.
Gerald, I'm isolating at home with COVID. I was just wondering, what can I do to other than water and so forth, is there anything I can do?
I think Super Sally, the pie lady, will have some outstanding suggestions for a healthy soup. But the basics, Stephen, are you keep hydrated with Sally soups. You perhaps get some advice from your local pharmacy or health food store on vitamin D, vitamin C and zinc. Get into it and check the soups.
Yeah, and a bone broth is a terrific one. It's a great way to stay hydrated and also just make sure that you're giving your body the goodness that it needs to try and build up its immune system again. It's a great one.
Hmm. There you go. Heaps more coming up on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Terrific having your company on the House of Wellness. I'm Elise Elliott, joined by Gerald and Sally. Now, interesting, you two, the blood donor ban has lifted. So Aussies who are in the UK residence for 6 months or more from 80 to 96 were prevented from donating blood. I know a lot of people, including my husband, who were there during that time, they feel like pariahs. Now, this was mainly because of mad cow disease and the outbreak. Mm. There's been a reversal of that. And they can now give blood.
Screaming for blood donors. Yeah. We should be making it easier, not harder. Mm. In fact, that whole blood donor system could be streamlined, in my humble view.
Oh, so how would you streamline it?
Make it easier to donate, make it faster, save having to reproduce all the information every time you go in. Mm. Welcome people, have a welcome person.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, we've got to make
lovely,
them,
yeah.
Just one person. Yeah, and they say, we probably can't afford it. I think you'd encourage people to go back.
Yeah, and what are your thoughts, Ellie?
I love donating blood. I think we were talking about this a few weeks ago. I obviously couldn't donate for many years because of the chemo that I'd had. And then as soon as my kind of, you know, allowable period had passed, I was straight in there to do it. But one of the things I've noticed is, you know, when a lot of them have closed down, so I'm always looking for one. Mm. And that makes it hard. So, look, it's tough. And if you can donate, please do. Mm. You know, like you said, they need it.
Find a little local one because in Victoria, certainly, we've got local ones that move around.
Yeah, my mum's 82, still donates blood regularly, much as she can.
Good Mooney blood.
I know, she said it just bursts out of it because she's so fit. There you go.
That's great.
We love your calls on House of Wellness, 131873. Rob from Melbourne actually called. He's 75 and smoked cigarettes for years, and his belief is kids under 18 should not be allowed to have access. It's that simple. Thanks for your call, Rob.
The simple things are the hardest to implement.
You got it. Sylvia from Werribee joins us.
Hi, good morning, Sylvia.
Hello, beautiful people. I just got a question for Gerald or whoever. Mm-hmm. I just want to know when to take ashwagandha. Is it in the morning after breakfast or before bed?
It depends, Sylvia. If you're a bit of a stress head, and, you know, probably everybody is.
I am.
But then taking an ashwagandha formulation in the morning is a good idea because it actually takes the edge off your reaction to stress across the day. And that will follow over to give you probably better quality sleep. But there are specific ashwagandha formulations with other sedating herbs that usually have the label ashwagandha sleep on them, which will help you get better quality sleep. So it just depends what particular issue you're trying to address. Have a think about it, get some advice, but based on that, make the decision.
It's also interesting, isn't it, should you take magnesium at night?
That's the best time. Yeah, magnesium, because that's the relaxing mineral. Yeah, so your B groups and ubiquinol, the energizers in the day, in the morning, and the slower downers a little bit at night. It's just logical.
I know. Well, I think I was taking magnesium in the morning and ubiquinol.
Well, that explained a lot of things at the time. But anyway, we've got everything back on track now.
Thank you, Gerald. And coming up, lifestyle changes we can all make to support our mitochondrial health right here on the House of Wellness.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
Happy Sunday morning here on the House of Wellness. We love your calls, 131873. Anna from South Melbourne joins us.
Morning, Anna. How can we help you?
Oh, good morning. Look, it's week three of COVID recovery. Got through a chest infection, off the medication.
Good.
I'm dealing with extreme fatigue. I was a 35-kilometre walker down to nothing. Mm-hmm. So I'm on ubiquinol, vitamin D, magnesium, great food and lots of water. What else can I do?
Gee, you've got a pretty good
in terms of vitamins and minerals.
You've got a pretty good package there, Anna. I think you've nailed it. You've 300 milligram ubiquinol, but the lesson I think you should put zinc in there as well, because this particular virus seems to deplete us of zinc. So go and get a zinc capsule and take it once a day as well. The secret we've learned is don't push yourself to go back to that 35 Ks too early. because it can come back to bite you. So move into it slowly but surely. Give your body a chance to recover. Everybody's different. There's no set rule for every single person. Listen to what your body's got to say. And Sal's going to give us some energizing food.
Yeah, I think it sounds like you're really on top of your food, which is fantastic. I was going to say, just make sure you're hydrating enough and drinking enough. And the other thing would be, in terms of your movement, you're so right, GQ, you don't rush to do the 35K, but you might want to get some movement in because, as we know, movement, I guess, whilst it can be tiring, too much is tiring, but a little can actually energize you. It can help get the blood flow moving. So not necessarily a big walk, but just some sort of movement can often help, and get enough sleep. I think sleep.
Don't stay up late.
Recover.
Yeah. Have a nana nap in the afternoon if you can, if your life allows, or just go to bed early.
Yeah.
It's hard to do when the Commonwealth Games are on.
Yeah, correct. I know, especially with the time difference. Mm. Good luck, Anna, recovering from COVID. Dee from South Yarra.
Hello, Dee. Good morning.
Oh, good morning to you. Thank you, Gerald. I'm just wondering if you could suggest something to take. I have very bad knee and ankle pain and in between. And some nights I just can't sleep. And then it'll go away. And then it comes and goes. Today I'm having a really good day, but sometimes I can't even walk downstairs.
Yes. Look, it's worth having a chat. I'll give you some suggestions, but a lot of this can often come from your hips. So it's time probably next time you're at the doctor's to maybe have him look at your hip structure, maybe go off and get a scan done. But in the meantime, I'm not really known as the turmeric kid for nothing. This is perfect turmeric territory, where it's a very effective anti-inflammatory. Get some high-dose turmeric from your pharmacist or your health food store. Add glucosamine to help cartilage production, and away you go. You're specifically addressing joint health. And Sal, what about fishy foods, omega-3s?
Yeah, definitely. Salmon is a really great fishy food, and you can turn it into a curry and add extra turmeric. Like you said, if you're eating it, it's not probably high dose enough to be effective, but more is more.
Do both.
And make sure absolutely do both. Make sure if you're cooking with it that you have some sort of oil. So,
do you have a turmeric pie, Sal?
I could make one just for you,
there
GQ,
you go.
I reckon.
You two could start a new recipe.
Oh, look, Sal's pies are amazing.
Pie. There you go. All right, I love it.
I'm on
or
it.
Joint pain. Yeah. Get onto it, you two. Yeah.
Thanks, Dee.
I'll buy one. Best of luck, Dee. Now, mitochondrial health. It's known as the new frontier of healthcare. And this morning we find out just how important its role is in supporting male fertility, healthy hearts and our energy levels. Joining us on the line is naturopath and natural fertility specialist, Leah Hechtman. She's also known in some circles as the fertility queen. That's quite the moniker. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning, everybody.
How about that for an intro, Leah?
Oh, how's that?
I know. There you go.
I'll come with you wherever you want. I can just introduce you. First of all, can you please explain what the term mitochondrial health even means?
Oh, absolutely. Look, I think the most important thing to remember is that the human body, like there's this beautiful analogy that's in circles that likens it to a car. And if a car doesn't have any fuel, it can't drive. And if the human body doesn't have mitochondria, it can't produce energy. So they're these components of our cells within our body that generate energy. And if we don't have enough mitochondria, which unfortunately decline as we age, unfortunately our energy levels will decline as well.
Mm-hmm. So how are we able then to assist our health through lifestyle?
Well, if we have healthy mitochondria, we are actually able to produce more energy, essentially. So if we do all the things that help us take care of ourselves and take care of ourselves. So number one, like you guys were just discussing with those two people, enough sleep is probably the most important thing that we can do. And getting enough restful sleep so that we can repair our body during the night, exercising on a daily basis, and really making sure that we eat a very balanced diet so that it has enough really good fat, and ideally that it's high in animal sources of protein, because we know that ubiquinol is more readily absorbed from animal sources, but certainly it's present in things like nuts and seeds and green leafies and avocado as well.
Leah, if we could drill down more specifically on male fertility, what role does mitochondrial health, and perhaps even further, what role does ubiquinol play in male fertility?
Absolutely. So if we think about male fertility, obviously the most important cell in the male body for that purpose is the sperm cell. And we know that mitochondria is concentrated within a sperm cell, particularly in the midpiece of the sperm. And we know that if men, for example, as they age and the mitochondrial number decline, the sperm quality declines as well. But there is this amazing thing in nature called ubiquinol, the active form of CoQ10, and that helps to regenerate the mitochondria within the sperm. So it helps to improve the quality of the sperm.
Can a lifestyle change help with men and fertility?
Absolutely. You know, we've got lots of really good research that shows that, sadly, sperm quality, so count, how it moves, how it looks, everything declines as a male ages. And we know that the aging process is associated with oxidative damage or free radical damage. So we know that if we can, you know, improve mitochondrial health, we can improve ubiquinol stores, we can actually help to delay those processes and help to regenerate healthy sperm.
It plays a role in heart health as well, doesn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, the heart muscle itself uses more ubiquinol than anything else, doesn't it?
Yes.
And, you know, generation of energy as well. So really important and really good data showing that it can help to, you know, balance cholesterol levels as well.
So for those, Leah, for those people perhaps who might be struggling to conceive, is a focus on male fertility by chatting with your practitioner, your doctor, whatever, is that a sensible way to go rather than stress about it?
Oh, absolutely, because unfortunately stress has negative effects as well. But we know that, you know, male fertility is 50% of the equation, so it's really important that couples together will seek some professional advice to make sure that they're on the best care possible.
Great. And finally, ubiquinol obviously plays a part in our energy levels, as you said. Someone asked recently about when to take vitamins. Would you recommend taking ubiquinol in the morning as opposed to night? I took it at night.
Oh, absolutely.
I was sort of pinging off the wall.
Absolutely in the morning. Yeah, no, I know. I did the same many years ago. I'm always in the morning and you'll have a lot more energy for the day. So, smarter way to do it.
All right. Thank you so much, fertility queen, amongst many, many other things, Leah Hechtman.
Great to chat, Leah.
Lovely chatting to you. Coming up, how to relieve symptoms of the common cold and flu on the A to Z of vitamins. It's interesting, isn't it, Gerald and Sally, so much focus on COVID, but, you know, guess what? Flu and colds are still out there.
There's a lot of upper respiratory tract infection issues around right across the country.
And, you know, is it true, do you think, perhaps our immune systems are a bit compromised at the moment? Plus, we're in lockdown for so long, particularly in Melbourne. We didn't build up any resistance.
All experts are advising that, but that horse has bolted, so now we've got to start again.
Right, right here on the House of Wellness.
Yeah, that's right, build up your immune system.
Yeah. All right, we're going to hear about that coming up right here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Ubiquinol, the active form of CoQ10, is produced in the body to support heart health, but it declines as we age. Try Go Healthy's Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol from Chemist Warehouse. It boosts your body's supply of ubiquinol to help support cardiovascular health, immune function, and energy levels. Plus, it's readily absorbed by your body. Go Health Go CoQ10 Ubiquinol 100 milligrams is only $42.99 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
We're talking the A to Z of vitamins with Gerald. Now, Gerald, colds, headaches, sore throats.
All of that.
God, they're going around,
used to
aren't they?
In the old days, used to be just called a cold. But now, of course, we've got all sorts of exotic. And I think, as you mentioned before the break.
Oh, Aaron, and the man flu, sorry.
Don't be facetious about that. That is, as Marcus and Tom and I would agree, there is a remedy for that.
Right, what's that? Sympathy?
Lots of sympathy. Into bed. With the remote.
Oh, yes.
And a little bell to ring.
Oh!
When you need some service.
That's, shocker. Do no, not that's the way encourage
you, that's the way
the
you get better.
Flu.
Now, we talked before about someone rang, I think it was Stephen from Greenvale. We talked vitamin C and we talked zinc.
Yep.
There are herbs, though, which have been clinically shown to improve the time taken to recover. And the one of choice is Andrographis. And we know a lot about it. And there's formulations that are specifically made which will help shorten the time. And that's really, we want to recover and get back to what we were doing. and that will make a difference.
So if you could choose, you know, the vitamins and minerals to take to ease a cold and all these symptoms, what would they be?
Zinc, C, D separately, because most formulations don't have enough D. So you need about 2,000 units of D. And one of the immune-supporting herbs, so andrographis probably, that's the one I tend to rely on and have for years, and nothing's changed.
And you too, Sally. Can we get enough nutrients in our day-to-day diets to protect us from cold?
You know what? Generally, no. We just don't get enough. Most of us don't eat enough vegetables. The quality of vegetables, because the quality of the soil isn't as good as it used to be. So supplementation is really important. And, you know, GQ's list there is perfect. So I think it's always about a good diet plus supplementation. You just need them both hand in hand.
The A to Z of Vitamins is brought to you by Bioceuticals ArmorForce, a complex formulation to relieve symptoms of cold and flu, found exclusively behind the counter. Speak to your pharmacist for specially formulated relief. We love your calls on the House of Wellness, and we have plenty this morning. Patricia from St Clair in New South Wales has joined us. Hi there, Patricia.
Hi, Patricia. How can we help
you? Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Look, I suffer from dry eyes, and it's so bad that doesn't matter if I use Zyrtec or if I use Sustain or if I use Vitapop. You know, it's like a burning feeling, burning sensation. And now I've been put on a new drug called tamoxifen.
Yeah.
And of course, it also causes dry eyes.
Yes.
Is there anything else I could take or a vitamin I could get that would help me?
It's hard work, Patricia, with dry eye syndrome. Now, internally, two things. One is omega-3 fish oils. You can certainly eat oily fish, but you just don't get enough. So go and get a high-strength, high EPA DHA fish oil and take one of them twice a day. We've mentioned ubiquinol. There is science showing that ubiquinol helps the production of tears. So go and get some 150 milligram ubiquinol. Take one of them every morning and use one of the lubricants. There's a good range that you can use on a closed eye. So you close your eye, spray it on, count to three, and then open, and that reduces tear evaporation, and then use one of the thick gooey drops last thing at night. As you're heading to bed, a drop in each eye or even one of the gels, and that will stay in your eye overnight. I know it's a package, but there's no simple remedy, Patricia, because as you said, that medication is adding to the problem already.
Best of luck there, Patricia. Gerald is here to take your calls. 131 873 is the number to call. Margaret from Ringwood joins us.
Hello, Margaret.
Good morning, Gerald. I wanted to inquire about something that I can take to relieve urinary, you know, constantly needing to go to the toilet.
Okay.
Now, I've been recommended one by a doctor, and it's got RIRA. BEGRON, and that's doesn't come under the health system.
Okay.
But I've got another one that's been quite regularly through your pharmacy, been very regularly advertised. Now I'm wondering which way to go.
The medications, Margaret, that are often prescribed for incontinence aren't particularly nice, and they're called anticholinergics, and they aren't nice. Long-term at all. The herbal combinations are good. Now, I can't mention brands on radio. So if you could pop onto your laptop, Margaret, and send me an email to houseofwellness.com.au. There's an Ask tab, clearly identified, that comes confidentially to me. No one else sees it, and I will respond with the best option, which on the basis of evidence across the world will work well.
There you go, Margaret. Best of luck with that. We've taken lots of calls this morning.
Been busy. Yeah.
It's been a busy show. More coming up here on the House of Wellness.
You're listening to the House of Wellness right across Australia. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse, the home of real brands and real savings.
Do you always feel like you have a lot going on in life? Try Go Healthy's Go Ashwagandha 8000 Plus Stress and Energy from Chemist Warehouse. The herb ashwagandha has been traditionally used in Ayurvedic medicine to support memory and mental recall. The formula also contains vitamin B5, which supports energy production and a healthy stress response in the body. Go Healthy's Go Ashwagandha 8000 Plus Stress and Energy, one a day, is $18.49 at Chemist Warehouse. Always read the label and follow the directions for use. Chemist Warehouse, great savings every day.
The House of Wellness, thanks to Chemist Warehouse. It takes a community to build immunity. Book your flu immunisation at chemistwarehouse.com.au/flu.
What an action-packed, informative show we've had, Gerald and Sally. I've just seen a front-page article about vaping, which we dealt with, and it's very alarming. It's saying that drug dealers are now delivering cannabis-laced vapes direct to schoolyards as the dangerous fad continues in our schools. I interviewed the head of the Drug and Alcohol Research Centre, Paul Dillon, who many years ago flagged vaping as a bit of a serious issue. So, Gerald and Sally, what can we do as grandparents and parents with young ones? In particular, Sally, you've got much younger ones, just sort of teaching them early about this.
I guess it's keeping the lines of communication open and talking about it and not, I think, being shut off and thinking, oh, it's not going to happen to my kid or my school's a great school or any of those things that I think sometimes we can tend to say to ourselves because it makes us feel better. But actually, you've got to be out on the front foot and talk about it. And I think children respond to facts, and I think be factual. Explain. Don't you think, GQ?
Yeah, look, I do, Sal. And look, I don't want to sound like an old fart, but I reckon this is the perfect role for a grandparent. As I'm fascinated with my, and I've got all grandsons, for heaven's sake, the depth of discussion we have about various things from the 19-year-old. In fact, I wasn't making much sense with Zach, who's just two yesterday, but you know, you try. But this is a role because often parents, you know, they're always telling their kids what to do and what not to do. Come on, grandparents, step up, guide, defend, inform, be informed yourself.
Now, what are you up to today, Gerald?
Golf? Watching footy today. We're being very responsible grandparents, so we'll stand out in the freezing cold and watch.
Oh, I know. I had to watch kiddie football yesterday. It was 1 degree.
What?
Well, yeah, it was 1 degree, and there was ice all over the playing field.
Yeah, well, we...
Oh, don't you love it? Committed parent on the sidelines.
Committed children. It's what you want.
And Sal, what are you up to?
I've got the kids' birthday party circuit again this... I'm back on the...
It's all right. It drops off and then it picks up again when they're 18. There's a little hiatus in the middle, so you can enjoy
that.
Waiting
for that to come, yeah.
Enjoy your Sunday and thank you for joining us here on the House of Wellness.